what's approached the mitzvot aseh, where he adds on those mitzvot which he considers to be a mitzvot of Rambam. The Rambam left out, add the mitzvot of Yishuv, the kibbutz, whatever it is, we're going to have later, Eretz Yisrael, which he didn't find in Sefer Mitzvot, because it's not there. Now, this is taken by such people as Sivu Rashbash and Mishmat Kochai, who's in Khan Karachi, and Peir Shulchan and others, that have a Rambam that has lifted the list of the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael in Sefer Mitzvot, and somebody doesn't think it's a mitzvot in the Torah. This would seem to be common sense. This didn't satisfy a whole slew of other Acharonim, nevertheless, who it doesn't. It's not only a question of the Acharonim who in Eretz Yisrael tried to make a mitzvah in Torah and Rambam, but don't. That's too easy. Although there's some truth to that. In any case, the various sfaras have been preferred to show that, in fact, even though he didn't mention it in Sefer Mitzvot, he nevertheless believes it's a mitzvah from the Torah anyway, just for very technical reasons that it wasn't included. Now, the most quoted opinion, or the Aragat opinion, is that of Chubas Tolos Yaakov, which I listed here, which is brought down also in Sitzel Yezer, or Chubas Yaakov, Rabbi Cook, Imam Benin Smecha, also mentions it, and about half a dozen Rachelim bring this as far down. So it's as follows. That the Rambam lists only specific mitzvahs, but mitzvahs which include the whole Torah, as he said in Sharei Dalit, of Sefer Mitzvah, that you know the Sharashim of Sefer Mitzvah, are what the Rambam uses to explain what he includes and what he doesn't include. It's a primarily to disagree with the Bahag, who has his own rather astute way of ordering cases. The Rambam explains why he does things out and why he puts things in. Shorah explains that things which include the whole Torah are not included in Sefer Mitzvot. They're sort of Mitzvot Kolalot, they're not a specific Mitzvot, and he leaves them out, then they're not in the Torah. So, say these various Acharonim, Mitzvot Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is included in that, and there's attaching to it. According to the Ramban, altogether you can't observe any of the mitzvahs in the Deraita except in Eretz Yisrael, the Quran anyway. And therefore, by the reasoning of the Rambam in Shorei Dalit, he left it out, but it really isn't the right thing. Well, let's take a look at Shorei Dalit and see what we find. Shorei Dalit says as follows. Shorei Dalit, Sha'im Ro'im, Nota Tzivuyim, Akolim, Akolah Kulah. הנה ירוב התורה ציוויים בעברות אינם בדבר מיוחד, אבל יכללו המצוות כולן. כאילו יאמר, עשה כל מה שתביטיך לעשות, ויזהר מכל מה שהדרתיך ממנו, או לא תעבור דבר ממה שתביטיך בו. ואין פנים למנות הציבור, אני חושב את זה עם הרשקות הפנימית הזה, מצוות בפני עצמה, אין פנים למנות ציבור הזה מצוות בפני עצמה, שהוא לא יצווה לעשות מעשה מיוחד שיהיה מצוות עשה, ולא יצהיר לעשות מעשה מיוחד שיהיה מצוות לא תעשה. וזה במרו בכל אשר אמרתי אליכם תשמורו, ונאמר בחובותיי תשמורו, ובמצוותיי תעשו, ושמעתם נשמתי ורבים כאלו, וכבר תראו בשער הזה גם כן, עד שמנו קדושים תהיו מצווה בכלל מצוות עשה, ויבהג לקדושים תהיו את מצווה. So the Rambam has now explained why Mitzvot Kvaliyot aren't included in the Torah. And could someone tell me why there's a violation whatever the Mitzvot Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, and there isn't? Why you cannot claim that it's not listed in Sefer Mitzvot because it falls under the in the category of what he's talking about in Shorash Dalit. Shorash Dalit, he says, he will not list those Mitzvot HaKololot and HaTorah and HaTorah Kula. A none of the Dvar Miyuchad. They don't refer to anything in specific. And he goes on to say, Ain't Motanim Mimnot HaTzibui Azeh Mitzvah B'tnei Atzmah. There's no point to when the Torah says, observe all my commandments, you're not going to listen to a separate mitzvah. Because Shehu Lo Yitzaveh Lachot Ma'aseh Miyuchad Sheyeh Mitzvah Taseh Lo Yazhir Me'asot Mitzvah Miyuchad Sheyeh Mitzvah Lo Taseh. Because it is included, nothing included, it is included thereby to do a specific action or to refrain from doing another action. Alright, so why is it inflicted with this Yishuv Eretz Yisrael?
It is
Obviously, if you cross a border, move, cross the frontier, the green line, or whatever, the blue line, and live in Eretz Yisrael. What the son Lotas say, Abba Mikala say, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. There's obviously a very specific action involved in living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just a general statement like observe my mitzvahs. There's something applied to it now. It's big. You have a number, a lot of mitzvahs are attached to it. As a result of living in Eretz Yisrael, you can do A, B, C, D, A, or G. But as a mitzvah itself, there's no way that you can include the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah kolelet, which has nothing specifically with nothing specific to it, which would therefore not include the separate mitzvah. Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that,
is there a difference in your state of being between living here and living there?
No, but if I go on a trip abroad, I still live in America. Right.
So what you're saying is that a person who grew up in Eretz Yisrael has not done any particular actions to fill this particular mitzvah. Yeah, cannot. But that wouldn't then you get to the question of what is exactly the mitzvah, which we'll go into when we look at the Rambam later on. But the principle, I think, is very strong to say that there are specific actions which are attached to it, which may not be fulfilled clear-cutly by this individual, but as a mitzvah, it is not in the category, whatever I'm saying, it's not in the category of Loshim to you or Shema to Kodesh Tatar or any other thing. That's the point I'm making, that's clear. So the according to tie it to Shor HaDavah, they're simply with the Shor HaDavah, yes.
So couldn't it be that it's not that the commands in general are keep the culture of Kula? It can't be called to a Kula outside of Eretz Yisrael. That whenever you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. But then
You can't observe the Kola Torah Kula if your Chalo Shabbos, your Mumala Chalo Torah, and if your Kofar Mikar, your Mumala Chalo Torah. You can't observe the Torah of your Apikoros, but that doesn't mean that that Mumala Chalo Torah is not in that mitzvah.
No,
Mumala Chalo
Torah is also in.
Well, why? I mean, it's the Kola Torah, right? Isn't it? So much for number one in the Achronim on this matter. Now the next story we come up in Shehu Shuvah Nehemiah. And here I can't really go through without having the source in front of me, but it makes the following picture that the Rambam leaves us, I'm maybe getting it backwards, talks about building the Mikdash, but doesn't talk about building the, making the Aron HaShulchan or the other way around. Anyway, and the explanation for that is that one is for the Tafis of the second one. And therefore, according to the Avnei Mezer, since the Rambam lists the mitzvah Achrei Tachrimei, which is for the purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael, well, therefore he doesn't have to list separately the mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. If not, rely on, look up the Avnei Mezer because it's hard to explain it on one foot. The Hasag on him came from Avnei Mitzvah in the Tzadish of Eretz Yisrael, which is a perfectly logical conclusion that if you have to choose between the two, then Adirabah, Hei Tachimeim, should be deleted, and the Sardis Shabbat Yisrael should be the one which is taken care of. I just mentioned the Derech Agav, it's not a main topic in the Achronim. There's another opinion in the Achronim, you find this, a tshuva of the Or Gadol Mimitz, or the Dol Mimitz, who you may be familiar with from Peir Shad and Mishnayos. And this is brought in the Rabbi Shukansky's paper about, volume 3. And his reasoning is that it's not a specific mitzvah, according to the Rambam. It's not listed. But it certainly is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. I'm not sure what that means. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon because all of the Torah is full of the implication that you should live in Eretz Yisrael, and all the Avos were taught both to live in Eretz Yisrael, and it's clear that all the Ketuvim are permeated by the idea of living in Eretz Yisrael. So it's clearly, in some sense, Midoraita, But since it doesn't have a particular tzivui to it, it doesn't have a pasuk which you can pin it on, therefore it's not listed as part of the Torah mitzvah. Is that clear? Now, the answer to that, it seems to me, is to compare with again an Al Hashem Akar Hashem to be Nazi Sardin, so the middle of the Shwarakun. And Bahad leaves that out, doesn't consider it a mitzvah, consider it a Palagma, Rambam includes it as a specific mitzvah to live with the believing in Rosh Baruch Hu. Now, it would seem that believing in Rosh Baruch Hu is something which the Torah is full of, and it's obvious from everybody's statement. What about the argument that there is no specific mitzvah to living as Israel? Well, that's hard to establish because according to the Rambam, there is a particular pasuk of living about living as Israel. This is Arashim Va'arfi Shabtim Ba, the Midbar. So why should Arashim Va'arfi Shabtim Ba, according to the Rambam, be any less mitzvah than Anokh Hashem Akar Hashar to be there in Israel? Which the Rambam does include as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. If the Rambam wanted to include it or agreed that it was the right now, so he would presumably tack it on to the pasuk of the Midbar, which the Rambam does and include it. My opinion is that this particular approach is not a good one. It's sort of like Drush in the Rambam. Now, so what have we established so far? And we get the sources to see more, look it up. Rambam leaves it out, and the shots of everything going on is he leaves it out of the canvas and they're right. At the very least, those who try to prove that it is and not prove their point. Now, you can explain sometimes that people of Achronim in reconciling, seeing the art, the destroyed on the principle of Pushim Achlov is about Shina, we don't try to modify disagreements. The Ramban and the Rivash and Tashbas and the others in the school hold that as Mr. Director. So we should hopefully try to get everybody else to agree with him. And if the Ramban seems to be the only one who doesn't mention it, so since he didn't say that he isn't, in order to not try to establish Machlokas where there's no need for Machlokas, we should try to explain the Rambam also as agree with the Rambam. This is a tried and true and tested principle, which you find in any number of contexts. Most of the time, after you look a little, you discover that anyway, there is in fact a clear Machlokas we've shown on the matter. And that being the case, there's no longer any point in trying to read into the Rambam what isn't there, because we haven't solved the problem of disagreement. Who is the Rishon who seems in the most clear cut fashion to say there's no mitzvah in the Torah? Alright, that's your fine column, the first of the Tzibor. The fine column. Tells us to look for Yud and Mukhet.
Who's that?
Kuf Yud and Mukhet.
Some notorious.
Right. Now, the Gemara here, which you may get back to, this is really a 4-hour shiur. But we don't have time for that. We just as well don't have the sources. The Gemara, the Mishnah talks about a kol malum Eretz Yisrael ve'enekom otsiim, that everyone, each spouse can force the other to go up to Eretz Yisrael, but can't force the other to leave it. Who forces who? In what circumstances? Who amer lalot? He wants to go up to Eretz Yisrael. She doesn't, but he forces her, or she brings it to Tzuba. She wants to go up and he doesn't, she forces him, or else he has to divorce her and pay her Tzuba. Who amer lalot? Tosfot, and then I have his man of there. It doesn't apply nowadays because they are sucking up their feet. That's cool, my fish. Can't do this for the 11th of children, do you? Vayah Omer Rabbeinu Chaim. Rabbeinu Chaim, in the Chaim Kohen, said, Achshav and no mitzvah lo ber Yisrael. Not only is the person true of Nefesh, but there is no mitzvah right now to the Nefesh Yisrael. It's not there that you can't fulfill it. Because I'm not Yachim, but it doesn't apply, it's altogether uprooted. Ki yesh kama mitzvot ha-tliyot ba-aretz, v'kama onashim ve'ein al yicholim yitahir ba-hem v'lamod alayhem. Why? Is there no mitzvah altogether in Eretz Yisrael? The right thing, Rabbanan. It's still with Rabbanan. He said, even Rabbanan is not going to live in Eretz Yisrael today. Why? Because the very mitzvot ha-tliyot ba-aretz, you can't can't be mitzvah, and you can't be sure that you're fulfilling them. And as a result, there's ownership for non-fulfillment or for violation, and it's not shy as to require someone to fulfill a mitzvah by putting mitzvahs in a list of villain, and he's going to in fact violate an aver.
That same on principle, there's no mitzvah, or because there's so many other overriding factors that we're baffling.
Well, that's what I hinted at the question, what is the right of the Rabbanan? If somebody here holds that this is the Rabbanan, he's saying there's no mitzvah altogether in the Rabbanan. Not only is there mitzvah, you don't have to do it because you can set up the which is that the mitzvah exists, and if you live there, that's only if you got to go from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, you got to second choice. But what he's saying further is that even in Eretz Yisrael is no mitzvah to live there because you can't draw, can't fulfill the mitzvah.
No, but is he saying that there's no mitzvah, or is he saying that there is a mitzvah, but we, because there's so many other affairs that one is going to do, therefore we're telling you not to do it?
Well, the language of no mitzvah sounds like no mitzvah. Second of all, since he sounds like he's talking about
the
Ramadan.
The general halacha from the time of Matan Torah that there's no mitzvah.
No, because he says it now.
Why would it be dependent on
the we're not able to daven with him. It's time to talk about his own day. But nowadays there's no mitzvah. Presumably meaning no mitzvah to Rabbanan altogether. Not only even if you're doing Eretz Yisrael, there's no mitzvah, because in the fact of doing Eretz Yisrael you can be over various affairs. She's not talking about 700 people altogether. We'll get to that in a moment. Now the Maharis. You said that. Now the Maharit did not like this in his virus. And he decided that the Uchad Kohen was a didn't write this altogether, right? Talmud Torah wrote it. And because it's not shy of that Rabbi Uchad Kohen about the Tosov with Seisha Supreme. And he brought various liars. One is that nobody else in the Rishonim ever mentioned himself to this day. And the summit of Rav Chaim Cohen said that somebody else had mentioned the Rosh, Aram Rattenberg, all the Balei Tosfot who came afterwards, who were generally called Rav Chaim Cohen, he mentioned, couldn't call him in this case, so the summit therefore didn't exist in fact. Well, Piskei Tosfot does bring it down. So there's somebody from the ground. Piskei Tosfot is also from Rishon. So Rav Chaim Cohen is quoted someplace. Another raya of Rishon Shuv Maritz, it's also his Chidushim on Masechet Kedushin in some place. Forget exactly. It's the exact same discussion, word for word. Is that there is a Hagos Mordechai which ascribes something else to Rav Chaim Cohen. The Marit starts by saying, what do you mean you can't observe the mitzvah? What's that observing the mitzvah? Your question. And does it make any sense? What do you mean? Well, why not observe the mitzvah of Israel? Oh, because of the risk. Okay, so let's talk about more time. The Agol Mordechai brings down the name of Rav Chaim Cohen, the Ketav Rabbi Rav Chaim Cohen, Shein Soladu Beretz Yisrael Mishum Sakadat Drachim. Now, the Tosfot, if you remember the language, says two things. Another name is Man Azeh, the Yigat Sakadat Drachim, number one. Number two, Vaya Omer Rabbi Rav Chaim Darshav Yidom Soladu Beretz Yisrael, he is Kavit Soladu Fiyat Ba'aretz. Okay, two things in the Tosfot. One, Mistam is that the Sakadat Drachim, two, in the name of Rav Chaim Cohen, that is not a mitzvah altogether because of the problems of the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. The Agam Mordechai says, Katav Rav Chaim Cohen, that is no mitzvah nowadays because of Sakanat Rachim. From which the Maharit reasonably plausibly deduced that, you see, Rav Chaim Cohen says something else. Rav Chaim Cohen says Sakanat Rachim. I didn't say the other thing. Rav Chaim Cohen, he went to the first part of the Tosha, not the second part of the Tosha. There is not really any stira. First of all, the Tosfos says Rav Chaim Cohen Hayal Meir, and the Agot Mordechai says the Katav Rav Chaim Cohen. Just note the different mediums employed there. So there's no reason why he couldn't have said one thing and left something else also. The reason why, now, as far as all the Rishonim not quoting of Chaim Cohen, to get back to that matter, nobody agrees with him. That's very clear. That's not being discussed. No one disagrees with Rav Chaim Cohen. That doesn't mean, though, that they don't agree with him because he said so.
You're
ready
there,
so
you're born in
Israel. I don't know. Elijah's name is Solodur, the Eretz Israel. Sounds like he's Yudhaya name. But that's just the point. That's the two parts of the Tosha. The first part said Mazraki. The second part of Chaim Cohen says the Gay part said Mazraki. There's nothing to hold together. Oh, the Marut would get rid of the second part of Tosha completely. It doesn't belong in Chaim Cohen. There is no opinion which says that there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel today. That was Marut said. The whole second part of the Tosha, the name of Chaim Cohen, is not a Tosha. Just second of Mazraki, that is the only time you find the Shonen one in the Tosha, according to the Marut.
The other shaft, and it would be.
The chiddush of the Tosfot is that he had another time. That's why did the Tosfot attribute the first part of the Tosfot to him, where it says "Einam Mitzvah is Manazer Mipnei Sakanat Rachiv." Well, that's easy because he's not the only Baal of that day. Everyone agrees on that day. So there's no necessity to say Dr. Rav Chaim Cohen said Tosfot says that's his time, because everyone agrees on Sakanat Rachiv being a time. Tosfot mentions Rav Chaim Cohen specifically connected with the second part, which is because that's his chiddush. About Mordechai, can quote the letter of Rav Chaim Cohen wrote it. And in fact, he did say Sakanat Rachiv also. But that's no riot that when the Tosfot has something else in the name of Rav Chaim Cohen, that's not there. Now, about the question of the mitzvahs, how can Rav Chaim Cohen claim that he can do the mitzvahs in Israel? The Yosef Omer, the Chidah, the Shuvah, and the Namahunza, that's all these questions written there, goes over this whole matter. And he also does not really like the idea of claiming the Talmud Torah writes things. It's very difficult to prove. It's a very difficult thing to say that Talmud Torah writes something, when, in fact, this Tosfot has been quoted for hundreds of years and no one ever thought of the possibility that it's not Rav Chaim Cohen. The Ramah quotes it, that's primitive. The Notam Yehuda quotes it. He himself apparently holds it with the rifle altogether. He doesn't. None of these people suggest that it wasn't in fact the Rav Chaim Cohen of the Talmud Torah. So you have to really establish a case before you start cutting it out of the book, so to speak. As far as the reasons why Rav Chaim Cohen would assume Akoya in a moment, would assume that you can't observe the mitzvah, so the Chidah mentions various things such as the disagreement which wasn't resolved so relevant to the what is the real year of the Shemitah. You know, there are various opinions. There's the sheet of the Gaonim, which was eventually codified by the Rambam, but that wasn't always accepted. It wasn't sure for a while. So if you now have a subject as to what is the Shmita year, it's rather difficult indeed to Mekayim Mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. And the Chidah brings other things of the sort to show that the fact of Chaim Cohen could logically have a svara to claim that in those days there isn't any Mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. That there are the Mitzvah Eretz Yisrael that one can't fulfill, and therefore stay away. You had a question.
What is the theory?
Well, if as would appear that he's talking about Mitzvah Derabanan, so it's done. So it'll know that better. If it be the right there, wouldn't hold. He's still in it. In fact, there are other layers involved. It's another story altogether. The Mitzvah certainly is doesn't apply when it involves Averas on Mitzvah Deraita.
Even though they are smart,
I've said in the implication of Chaim Cohen, even assuming that there was in fact Rav Chaim Cohen who said this, which I think there was, is that it's Mitzvah Rabbani, which also is an element in our discussion.
I understand in the point that Christians we say anytime we have a machlokes about the raisa, then we try to get out of it.
No, I didn't. I was saying that the seed explained that for a while it wasn't sure what year sheep it was. He's saying that if you don't know what the year of sheep is, you have to throw, so it's very difficult to observe the mitzvahs properly.
You can't just wait. It's just a situation. Yeah, you have to go to the door for a...
I have to go to the door. And Rav Chaim Kohen and the Chizah claiming that for a while, that it wasn't. There was no agreement among the Dalai Hador or among the Yishodim as to what the Shemitah year was. So there's nobody to ask. It was a subject which was not from the Torah until after a while. And this idea of how they ask a Gadol Hador, why the Gadol Hador doesn't know the answer? Rav Chaim Kohen, of course, didn't know the answer until the Rambam finally decided that people have accepted his opinion that we'll follow the sheet of the Gaonim. But if he didn't agree that that effect is going to be where the Minhag is going to be, and finally the Minhag was established, maybe when the Rambam went back to it, we established the issue. It's very hard to follow a Minhag, theoretically. After people went back to Israel and started following the Minhag in practice, so you can say therefore the Minhag is to follow the sheet of the Gaonim. Before there was a resumption of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, there is not shock to talk about what the Minhag is, and no one there was a Jewish Shmita anyway. So therefore it becomes a theoretical question on what basis you in fact stick your head in the Shmita or whatever it is, always been decided what should be what the Shmita. Now it's an easy question for us, because it's been accepted for 7-8 years before Shmita the Goni, as the Rambam established it, but there was a period of time apparently when we were not sure, at least in certain quarters. And see the problem here is, ask the Gadol.
No, I mean, you just
refer to my last discussion about Tosfos.
Right. You mentioned that
the focus is the Tosfos, and the students mentioned two reasons
why one should not go there
and throw his money.
And
didn't say one should not. What? Wasn't that applicable? The first one says you don't have to because you're not Rachay. The other one says it's not a mitzvah altogether because it's not a mitzvah.
It's
what to me that
it's not a mitzvah altogether. I mean,
like, if by living in Eretz Yisrael you're going to be over and very averus, and various averus, it's certainly not a mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a plus. You're not going to get anywhere in Olam Haba by doing it. It might be. I don't know. This is a very theoretical business because no one agrees with Rav Chaim Kohen. The question was only to establish that Rav Chaim Kohen, or this particular quote from Rav Chaim Kohen, cannot be proved to be that of the Talmud Torah. There were others, you know, there's some famous in the end of Talmud Torah that discusses some of them. For instance, the business of mixed seedings. That might say for, I think that's a long tshuva on seedings of weddings, or seedings of weddings, mixed, separate, and seasons. So I discussed it there. There is a Levush in Hagim the end of Orach Chaim, which talks that nowadays you don't care about mixed seating, something about that. So various Rabbanim in certain sections of Israel really didn't like that, so they decided 50, 60 years ago in a pamphlet called something good. Kedoshim seeds. That Talmud Torah wrote it. So cut it out. And if you don't agree with it, you can't figure out how it doesn't fit into your particular worldview, so eliminate it. I show that you have to eliminate a marshal also. I also show that Bach, in fact, also holds it. There's nothing wrong with it. Very, very tricky business to try to claim that things from the special land of Israel are from the Talmud Torah. We're not really written. We really have to, it's a very rare thing to be able to do, yes.
The
different
information
you
It's
an interesting idea. I don't know the answer. It requires some research. I mean, the problem is you're comparing Tosfos and Haggadah Mordechai, so you're across, it's not the same source you're dealing with. That's an interesting idea. Now, so is Rav Chaim Kohen. Forget about Rav Chaim Kohen. It can reasonably be shown that the mashmah that many, many are showing is that it's not a mitzvah d'oraita. I should, by the way, mention that besides the Rambam, he doesn't mention Sefer Mitzvot, nobody else does either. Chinuch, the Smag, the Hag, the Urayim, nobody in Beimoni and Mitzvot mentions the Mitzvot Yishor of Israel. So even if you would somehow or other explain the Rambam on the basis of Shor Dalah, which you can't really, it wouldn't go too far explaining some of the others who also left it out. So the weight of opinion would seem to be that they don't view it as a specific chiyuv. Anyway, now, what about all the other Rishonim, which here's really wish I had sources. I've listed sources here, such as the Tashbat Hakam, that's Maram Rottenberg, the Tumas Adeshem, Maram Rottenberg also mentioned Kobo Nafaschayim, someone can find it there. And all of those, well, not all of those, but the in the Tashbat of Tumas Adeshem, you find statements of the following. They're asked, why, what about the Mitzvah Yeshiva Yisrael nowadays? And the Maram Rottenberg, my memory says, about as follows. Eini yodea mitzvah, ela kamoshim furash v'sof k'tuvot, something of that sort. I don't know why, anyway, it's a mitzvah, except in the way the Gemara talks about it, you should be careful to observe all the mitzvahs and live there in Kedusha, because if you're going to be a chote, you're not going to do the chutzlar, because in Adomea, chote, the Paltarin Shamelech, someone who goes and violates mitzvahs in the king's castle, and Israel is a much worse off when he gets caught. Then he violates the mitzvah in some rustic village. So therefore, I don't know any mitzvah to live there unless you're going to be involved all the you're going to observe all the Torahs, all the Torahs. But otherwise, if he became zofi as chemer mos chasirah, that possibly doesn't bring some other sitting down. Who needs someone to learn Israel if not someone to the Torah? Now, a similar thing you find Shemar Hadeshim. What's the language there? The Imachrino are called one of them, in a way that his behavior will be such that he'll sort of forgive all of the Tzilkas of the Avonis. And for us to sow the Tzivot, Sheyei, Parush, Mikan, Lo, Halav, Yidem, Mikom, Nei, Avon, Yidem, Kom, Mitzvah, and Nogotva, Shim, Yachtei, Yanesh, Yoter, Ala, Bira, Shechtei, Hashem, Bukhutz, La'aretz, Ki, Hashem, Lekecha, Dereish, Ota, Tamid, Vene, Hashem, Bar, Vesh, Kachato, Tamid, Vein, Dome, Amoreh, Vemalchut, Vepaltrin, Vemoreh, Chutz, Paltrin, Akkav, Shana. Alright, Vadai Shevach Gadol Umalel Lola Adam Hadar Beres Yisrael Vakov Shekin Be'ir Kodesh V'Toelet Olam Haba Gan Olam Hazeh. And you don't talk about what not everyone has parnasa for it, and this is the fact that they're very smart and they don't or not David Mitzvahs in the Kodesh can have a lot of problems. Watch out what you're doing. Now, if the Maram Rottenberg, or for that matter, Tumas Adeshem, thought there's a missing direct of living in Israel, so can one reasonably say that don't live in Israel except you don't observe all the mitzvahs? A mitzvah, it's a varian, we're not talking about Rav Chaim Kohen here, where he's saying that he thought that the Ikar, through the very fact of living in Israel, might be involved in a vera, because he's supposed to be a bar. But let's say you're not going to put on tefillin. Not putting on tefillin is nothing to do with living in Israel. You cannot put on tefillin in the chutzlars or not put on tefillin in Israel. But Rabbi Rottenberg says that if you're not going to put on tefillin, I understand chutzlars. I'm not going to be talking about that. There is no logical connection between living in Israel and not putting on tefillin. It's just that it's worse, that any of there is worse if you're living in Israel. Now, if living in Israel would be a Muslim derived as to what is one to the other, do you say don't observe one, don't fulfill one mitzvah? Because of other mitzvahs, what's the connection? The Rosh Hashanah says, put on tefillin and live in Eretz Yisrael. And just so you have to put on tefillin, at least go and live in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, there's an Eicha Rabbati in the Yalkut, the end of Eicha, which I list these sources, who says, on the Pesuk says, So the Alkut says, Halavai, Halavai, Shebnei Yisrael, Dariba Yisrael, Apa Pishet Tamimota. Would it be that Am Yisrael would live in Eretz Yisrael even though they profane it? It would seem that the Alkut, the Tiklamitris, holds, agrees with the Ramban, that things are the right, in which case, one or the other. The mitzvah is that the giving Ashkocha outside of the or Shabbat, which is said in another context. But it clearly goes directly against what Maram Rambert has to say, who says that don't live in Eretz Yisrael in the Tamid. Are you going to be pushing completely? And if Maram Ramberg and the Shimon Adeshin thought that it was Mrs. Daraita, there would not seem to be room for them to say what they said. To continue on this matter, the Rashbam, Baba Batra, which I give you a Mar Makomas to somewhere or other, he talks about why you can't bring an Eved, take an Eved out there to Israel. And he said, because you know, Vatel him from this sort of the Yodvaris. Arguments from what he doesn't say is not as strong, but he doesn't say because of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's not allowed to take matter Eretz Yisrael. He attaches the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael not as an independent mitzvah, but as one which is the result, the sum total of mitzvah of the Yafar, which seems to be the opinion of Rav Chaim Cohen also. And that is not an independent mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, just that it's a good thing to do because of the fact that he's fulfilling his other mitzvahs. And therefore you're not allowed to bring an Eved out of Eretz Yisrael, says the Rashbam, because by doing so you're vatel him from fulfilling mitzvot of the Yerfaharis. But he doesn't say that you vatel him from the Ika mitzvah itself of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mashmah there is that he doesn't hold it, it is a separate mitzvah. Yeah.
But if Yishuv Eretz Yisrael be Yerfaharis?
Well, yeah, I think so, that's true. Good point. But I don't think that's what he meant. That's a good idea. Okay. I'll be more careful in my prayers that way. Yeah.
Seems that many of the makoros that we've been saying from the Ramban through the everything that has to do with mitzvos and aretz, on one hand we're saying that there's no connection, but perhaps Eretz Yisrael is that since it is necessary for mitzvos, then in Mele, it has to be a general, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. So that those mitzvahs are true as far as, obviously, must include some kind of a directive to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Hold it. The mitzvah of the Zilfar is what keeps me out in the sense that if you're there, so I got to do it, you're a Chutzal, you don't have to do it. It's not a separate mitzvah, unless there would be a separate mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael if you can leave Spain and go to Eretz Yisrael if I will fulfill mitzvah of the Zilfar. We'll get to that later when we talk about what the Ramban really has to say. But the social power does not include the fact that getting there is thrown over the building. The Ramban himself, on the topic he brings, Barash Madarat Yashatimba, which I don't remember where it is, but remember it's in Makkah somewhere. Now the Ramban on this pasuk says, "Rashim the Arad Yeshavim Boti Yosef Metali the Arad the Rosh Lota." Al Dafi Zo Mitzvat Asehi Yitzavel Tam Sheishvu BeEretz VeYershuata Ki Ki Yitzunalehem Ki Hu Natnalehem Lo Yimasu BeNachlat Hashem VeEli Yaleh Hashem Lechem Lekvosh Eretz Shinar HaEretz Ashur. The Ramban says, "Rashi the Arz Yeshavim Bas Mitzvah. You must harash them. You must yeshav them." Rashi says, "Rashi the Arz. Why? Because if you do that, you'll be able to dwell there." Rashi does not say that the Yeshavim Arz is a mitzvah, like the Ramban says. He says, Rashi says again to read him, "Rashi the Arz Yeshavim Bas Mitzvah. You must harash them. You must yeshav them."
the Imla of Lot is only Kayim Bar. So again, it sounds fairly clear from Rashi, which is different than everything else in the room from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that they don't hold the mitzvah of the Yishuv or Kibush, in this case, there is to be a separate mitzvah. Rashi takes the pasuk, which is the proof pasuk of the Rambam, and turns it away, which is not a chiyuv to liberate Israel. It's just that in order to liberate Israel, destroy the goyim, otherwise you won't be able to maintain yourself. Rather than saying that it's a mitzvah to destroy the goyim and to live in Israel. Oh, so much for Rashi. Now, okay, we don't have a 70 time of these. No one heard it, but, oh, I forgot the name of it. Can someone run and get me a ribbon? By the way, some people are back. A digression on Sakhbi Tamudit. An important work. Anyone uses it? Everybody. Full of mistakes. Mistakes are in various categories. Sometimes there's simply a misquote somewhere. That can happen. I mean, they didn't understand the shot. I occasionally point things out of this sort. I'm no great bucky in Sakhbi Tamudit, and in a limited amount of my use of it, I find mistakes. Sometimes they quote the shock in the nuclear Yosef in the Erech of Israel, the new arrows, and when they tied together, they got back to the shock to say something else. Oh, that can happen. That's one type of mistake. Another type of mistake is simply inadmissible lack of scholarship. For instance, on the topic of, I think it's on the cover of Avedos in Rosh Chodesh, Hallel, Rosh Chodesh. There is a Mar Makom in Sefer Tamudit of three sources which have nothing whatever to do with the topic. Nothing. Completely irrelevant. So this intrigued me, and I want to know how they got it, and I found out how they got it from. There is a Chubas Rashi by Elfenbein, who is Matthias, and he has Mar Makomos. And I don't know the exact number, but on page so and so, the topic that Rashi deals with, in fact, that topic. Of Halal Rosh Chodesh, I think it's Siman Ayin Dalet, as it is. The Mar Makomos, which was copied down in Sefer Tamudit, were from Siman Ayin Hay on that page. And if you look at it, it's easy to make a mistake if they jump it together. How do I know that's true? Because within the Mar Makomos, there was a mistake. And that mistake was also copied down in Sefer Tamudit. And that, of course, is the classic way. Occasionally, some people will make mistakes in the work they do, and so they can catch somebody plagiarizing. Because, alright. So, this is simply the case of someone who was doing some work, and he copied down Mar Makomos in some place, and by looking them up. So, since he copied the wrong Mar Makomos down, he stuck two Mar Makomos down in some place, and he just wrote together. So, it's irrelevant to the matter. That's never two types of mistakes in the fine second time communication. Then, occasionally, you find a Sakatuki Tamudit mistake, which should be a mistake in Shikula Das. In which they bring something down in the footnotes generally, which really shouldn't be there. And one of the things which shouldn't be there is in the Eros of the Yeshiva of Israel, they bring a quote from Rav Kasman Bovenzal in Noam, in which he purports to prove from a first Gemara in Masechet Erevin and a Rashi there that everybody agrees on the spot Yeshiva of Israel is right. Okay, and they cite him, and this is the Gemara which has about Nachriu should serve all Eretz Israel, which is Erevin and Menhei Amud Aleph. And you probably know this so good for this of interest. Nachriu should serve all Eretz Israel, and you'll see what I'm going to play in Amud Aleph, and I'm Shabbat. If Goyim lay siege, now bear in mind, just understand the Sugya, that lay siege means a path of siege. It doesn't mean storming the gates. Means they can say the imba. That's what's being talked about. Once you get that down, you can understand what we're talking about. Otherwise, you'll have a mistake. So, goyim nachim should sorrow all ayot Eretz Yisrael. Ein yotzim alayim b'klei dedam, ve'im b'chalim alayim b'shabbat. Tani amyachim nachim should sorrow b'chul b'med v'im amarim b'shabol et kimamon. When do we not buy the Shabbat to try to break open the siege? When they came for financial reasons. They're trying to get money. They're trying to get tributes. But if they came for reasons of murder, so then you know they're not actively attacking you, you by Shabbat you go and attack them on Shabbat, and then you have a chance to fight them off. Alright.
This is relevant to the question of, I wrote an article on Tchumim, some Tchumim, okay? On Shmirat Sadot Be'eretz Yisrael. This is where it fit in. Anyway, there is a Rashi here which says as follows. Oh yeah, let me go to the word to say Abo. So, you, if they're laying siege, if the Boaz came among you, don't violate the Shabbat to go to attack them on Shabbat, only if the Boaz came to Pashot. But, Be'ir HaSulchal HaSfar, a city on the border, Yotzim Lehem B'tzai Denem HaChalim HaRud HaShabbat. So that even if they come this came among, if it's a border city, you gird your loins for battle and go out your fight. Alright, Rashi says, the Sfar, Irshim of Delabeg Bu Yisrael of Bulo Mos, border town, Yotzim Alehem Shami Yor Kadua. Why do you fight them on Shabbat? You know, they're not actively attacking you. Lest they capture the city. And having a foothold on the border, they'll be able to conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the article of Noah, I'm quoted approvingly by Yitzhak Mekamadit, next to following reasoning, that so if they will conquer Eretz Yisrael, so what? Since they're not actively doing anything now, there's no second of Pashot, on what basis divide at the Shabbat? Therefore, you must say that conquering Eretz Yisrael by Jews is in the coming mitzvah. And preventing its conquest by the going, therefore, is obviously ultimate Mechamim Mitzvah. And since you did a Mechamim Mitzvah to conquer Israel, and to prevent its reconquest by the going, therefore, you violate the Shabbat, lest they get the border town, that will be the opening for them to conquer the rest of Israel. This being the Gemara, this being the Rashi, and all the Rishonim Achronim from the Riflein down, all quote this Gemara, therefore it's clear that all the Achronim, all the Rishonim agree that Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is Midoraita. Period. Okay, comments?
Kibbutz?
Let's say Kibbutz, we've got to do that in a moment. Even Kibbutz, yes.
Would you get from the
Mitzvah? No, that's okay.
Alright,
it can't be thrown out. Okay, fine. Just look through the Rambam. Listen, forgetting about that. First two things. Number one, Rashi says this. What about others? The Rabban, Simon Shim Tamagimo, I think it put out, simply explains a different way. Yes, it is a second of Pashot more. Why? Because normally they come for monetary affairs, so they're careful not to kill people. Now, when you kill people, so the neighbors and the relatives get very upset about it, and they're liable to run after you afterwards and get all sorts of trouble. Now, however, if you are attacking a border settlement of Eretz Israel, you don't have to worry about anything, because you attack, you kill someone, you go back. And what are they going to do, follow you into Goyland? So, as a result, there is more of a danger in everything, even Mamonos. If it's a border city of Eretz Yisrael, is a sacrificial. This is the Rabban. Okay, so it's the Rabban, and therefore, what happens to the argument claiming that since everyone brings this Gemara, therefore they all agree with Rashi, and therefore Mina Rif, including the Rambam of all people, all the way down to the Alaska authority, more agree with Shulchan Aruch that it's a misuse of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi. No, the Rabban has just went ahead and explained this whole Gemara basically goes rubbish. In which case, there's no rise from it to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that goes down the drain. But besides that, let me read Rashi again. You tell me why from Rashi you have a fakert here, that in fact, for Rashi sounds as a shittin in Chumashis, and Gemara who you haven't quoted, that in fact it doesn't need to be a separate mitzvah of Yishuv or Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says as follows. Why, Yotzim aleihem shema yo kaduha umisham tihei nocha haaretz likabesh lifneihem. Lest they conquer, and from there they'll be able to conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Now, prove to me from Rashi that from this Rashi that he holds as not a mitzvah to kabesh Eretz Yisrael.
Well, it's not every people there, so they get the whole of Eretz.
And therefore.
If
it would be a mitzvah like Alti Ramban, therefore, what does Rashi have to say? Because lest they conquer the Ur Kavala Sfar, then they conquer the rest. Ur Hatzmuchal Sfar, is it Eretz Yisrael or not?
Yes.
it is that he found from Sikta and Shvi'is and various other sources, and therefore if it's a mitzvah to control Eretz Israel, it includes the Eretz Yisrael as far. Now, so therefore what you need, the real reason of saying that let's conquer the rest of it, you know, it's Pchelik Eretz Israel, you're not allowed to let them go and get a hold of it. Let the conquer Eretz Yisrael as far, period. So the fact that Rashi did not stop there, but goes on to say, and then they do something which is really no good, they'll come to Rosh Hashanah, one came and died from Rashi, which fits into a sheet everywhere else, in fact, that his reasoning here, in fact, is that this Yerushal Chalasvar is not because of the question of who was Shared Israel. And in fact, in the order of the rule, which I didn't cite, he brings Rashi down in the context which shows that he too interprets Rashi in the sense of Pikuach Nefesh. So there is nothing whatever left of the left of that code in the Pagi Tamuzit and the Mamar and Noam. And the only way I can explain what it's doing in the first place, other than the obvious explanation, is that Shub Chalim Mitzal Eretz Israel, because people have a love of Eretz Israel. But as you may know, in Gemara, in Bracha somewhere, anyway, there is a machloket between Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda about what type of bracha do you make on Shem Afar Simon of Eretz Yisrael. Shem Afar Simon is apparently that, according to the New York Times recently, is no longer in existence. And what bracha do you make out of it, and what do you exist in? So Chacham say, like everything else, whatever you say, I'm Shemin Tov. Rabbi Yehuda says, Borei Shemin Tov Shalar Tzeinu. That's his nusach of the bracha. So the rest of the Gemara, the other Amorim says, oh, don't pay attention, Rabbi Yehuda, Chaviva Alei Eretz Israel. I mean, that's his shita, he loves Eretz Israel. I mean, that's why he makes a special bracha. Now, this same Rabbi Yehuda is the one, the end of the Tuvus, who says, Kol Olevi Gavel Eretz Israel Beir Ba'asei. Well, from which it may be concluded that the fact that he loved, as the Gemara witnesses, was a lover of Eretz Israel, not preclude him from reaching whatever other conclusions he thought were correct, even if they get in the way of practical manifestations of love of Eretz Israel. So this is one of the love of Eretz Israel doesn't mean one has to come up with unsupported ideas of the sort that we just mentioned. Yes? Well, the Gemara Rashi says that Muhammad Yeshua is close to the Gemara there. That goes into the question of which one? All of them, just the first one? I'm not talking Nasir Lazaros, that's a whole another whole discussion in the name of Sotah there. But Rashi, there's nothing in Rashi there which indicates that Mitzvah of Doros is close to the Gemara. The Gemara says Muhammad Yeshua is close. Why Muhammad Yeshua? People would die the other way, not for Muhammad Yeshua. That's a whole other whole idiom which I'm not going to go into now. Okay. All right. So, what is the opinion of the Ramban in the first place? Oh, no. Let's leave that to the end and do a little bit of chronology. It was Moshe somewhere. I have it listed. Makes the following probably last consideration. If you hold Mitzvah of the right to live in Eretz Israel, like the Ramban, so Mitzvah of the right. If you hold Mitzvah of the Ramban, it's not Mitzvah altogether. Why? Because what do you have? A Takana? If it's a Takana, it's obviously it was not Mishpat to have a Holy Israel. And therefore, even if you claim it's a Ramban, it doesn't have any Chalot. Rabbi Vadia says it's like this, and his question was, how do you find all these haplogos, you find all over the Gemara about the importance of doing it to Israel, and a wife can force her husband to go in Aliyah, and a husband can force her wife to deny Mitzvah altogether? How do you explain it? Okay, let's take a look at the Tzuvah Ketuvah, and we'll find that Tzuvah Ketuvah is in fact the proof against Rabbi Yosef, in the Raya of the Moshe. The Gemara, the Mishnah, come on in there. Everyone follow the question so far?
You mean
the ultimate
part, like the
end?
Just like the
end,
it couldn't.
Yeah, we're
talking
about going on in the first
place. Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, when you go to the argument, because the situation, what's the time?
Alright, let's look at the reasoning given for the various, for this. the power of the spouse to force the other spouse. Hakom alim eretz Yisrael vein hakom motzi. Hakom alim Yerushalayim vein hakom motzi. Achad anashim achad anashim. Okay. There are two mitzvahs here, two forms of coercion. One is to go from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and one is to go from anywhere Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim. In the Gemara, you have Tamar Rabbanan, Hu Amer Lalos, Hi Amer Shelo Lalos, Kofim Ota Lalos, Vim Lot Etzed Lot Tzuvah, the teeth of the medical ordinance here. Hi Amer Lalos, Hu Amer Shelo Lalos, Kofim Ota Lalos, Vim Lot Yotzid 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 Tzuvah, Hi Amer Lotzei, Hu Amer Shelo Lotzei, Kofim Ota Lalos, Shelo Lotzei. Alright, so the powers, coercive powers in both directions. Here it's not explicit, but this is in Rashi, this is in Yushami, that all this is a Bua Merlalo, Kafimu Tav, Minotei, Tiri, Tekhtaba, applied whether from Chutz La'aretz to La'aretz, or whether from Aretz to Yerushalayim. But there's no difference between them, even though the Gemara doesn't mention it, Tosfos doesn't mention it, but the Yushami is there. But it applies double. Alright. So Rabbi Elazar says, who wants to ask the question, Rav Moshe, how can you say that if it's in the Rabbanan, it's not even a mitzvah, it's not even a chiyuv, in which case, how could they be mechayiv, you put koach to the husband to confer a coerce the wife, and vice versa, because somebody didn't even a mitzvah, in the chiyuv, rather? Alright, so you answer the question. Answer the question on the basis of the double nature of this mishnah. And
yeah,
what? Right. Bishlama, you can claim that there's a special mitzvah, the right of the Rabbanan, that everyone lives in Chutz La'aretz, lives in Eretz, should come up and live in Eretz Yisrael. But where do you find a mitzvah anywhere which says that everyone in Eretz Yisrael has to live in Yerushalayim, Dafka? And therefore, since nevertheless the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi give the same powers of coercion to husbands to force the wife and vice versa to leave the Eretz Yisrael to live in Yerushalayim, you have to explain that whatever the reason is, it cannot be on the basis of a specific mitzvah that they're actually going to live there. There is no such mitzvah for all of the time to live in Yerushalayim, Dafka. And therefore, there is no right or whatever. And remember, it's a proof of Rav Feinstein in this case. Why indeed do we find this part of coercion? This gets interesting. There are two shittas, two major shittas, and now a third. The Tashbat, I probably stuck down some references here, Reish Tzadiket, Reish Aleph, and Reish Gimel, the Tshuva Tashbat. The Seva Tashbat's Katav is a Tamil Ram Rambam, the Tshuva Tashbat is Shimon ben Sema, who was shown you from North Africa. Tashbat explains the mitzvah of living in. The reason why a husband can coerce his wife, why Chachamim gave the power for this coercion, because of the necessity of Mekai Mitzvahs, the ability of Mekai Mitzvahs. Since you can fulfill more mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, you can, therefore, Chachamim empowered the couple to coerce each other to remain mitzvah. Now, the question then becomes, well, good, as far as a lot of mitzvahs to be up La'aretz, which aren't to be up Chutz La'aretz, but what special mitzvahs do we find in Yerushalayim? Which would mitigate giving a couple of powers to force each other in Yerushalayim. So then he goes into a whole bunch of the things from Bava Kama and other places which has to do with what special mitzvahs have to do in Yerushalayim. The problem with that is most of them are mitzvahs lo tasei. The Rabbanan, you can't plant rose gardens and trees, and you can't bury your dead, etc. It's very difficult to claim that a husband can force his wife to live in Yerushalayim in order not to obey Mrs. Lotasa. I mean, you don't have to live in Yerushalayim, you know, for them anyway. So that's a difficult shita. Now there's another shita in Shulchan Aruch Chatam Sofer, Reish Lamed Daled, and he said there's nothing to do with Mitzvot Liyot Ba'aretz. Reason. I mean, there are mitzvahs, nothing on the mitzvahs. Simply said, that's not the reason for the Takanat Chachamim. That's not the reason for the Takanat Chachamim in this case. The reason is simply because it's Tosefta Kedushah. And here you are very strong ground, you have the Mishnah Kelim, the 10 levels of Kedushah, and this is above the other, and Eretz Yisrael more than Chutz La'aretz, and Rechaman Yerushalayim more than the rest. And therefore, in order to partake of the great degree of sanctity, Chachamim gave the ability to a husband to coerce the wife, and the wife to coerce the husband, whether to leave Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Tumah, and live in Eretz HaKodesh, or to leave Eretz HaKodesh and go a little step higher in Kedushah to live in Yerushalayim, yes. Well, they don't apply to that. They haven't been around for a while. There would be theoretically, maybe.
But by the time of the by the time of the Mishnah, I don't think they're in the distance anymore. Well, not in the halakha category, which is in the sources. What? Well, I'm not talking about Purim. I'm talking about Purim. That's a separate issue. But I'm talking about the Shabbat Kedusha Leviv and the but there are anyway, Chachamim don't have to go there every second, so that's the Harora, but not not a quite a cushion. Yeah.
This one is going to say Lumiar spells a Kiev inclusion to him.
Well, we're not talking about the right to him. We're saying that because of the additional effort, that's the question we're talking about Kedoshim. Kedoshim to you is not referring to this type of Kedusha, it would seem to me. We're referring to more Esco type of Kedusha, but that's another reason altogether. Whether it is or not, according to the Chassid Sofer, the Chachamim gave the power of the husband to divorce the wife and vice versa in order to enable him to live a life of higher sanctity. So it may stand back in Kedoshim Yu, but there's nothing in Kedoshim Yu which makes him this part of the right. There's obviously a stack of Chachamim, which would enable someone to partake of more and more Kedusha. The problem with that is the Kedushim of the husband is to divorce the wife, but what is the story to say? Yes. Right, that's why Chachamim gave power to enable one type of couple to fulfill more mitzvahs.
The problem that was is that how that explained
Shalom. Right, since there are very few of any mitzvah that say the Zman Hazeh, which you can fulfill specifically in Shalom nowhere else.
Oh, the Zman Hazeh, which you can say the Mishnah could be referring to the time that basically there's still around
and maybe well, as a matter of fact, you're referring to a whole Indian which we probably won't go into, maybe we will. The dispute between the Bavli and Yushalmi as in between Zman Hazeh or well, what you have as follows. The Bavli, this is the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, most of the poskim, a husband could force the wife could force the husband completely equal. Yushalmi has the husband to force the wife, but the wife can't force the husband. Well, what do you do to Yushalmi? So one of the explanations that I'm around Rottenberg, you find the tour of Ezer, Ryan, Hay, or Bo, whichever I marked out here, is that one is Zman Habayit and one is Zman Hazeh. Now what that means will lead to whether we have time to go into that question or not. But that matter is addressed. Now, so you can understand why a husband could be given the power to cope with his wife because he wants to live a more holy life, but it's when he gives the wife the power to cope with her husband. I mean, she's shubedet lo, in the same way, to take another different example altogether, that her chiyuv of kibud av ha'ev is bottled to her chiyuv, to his chiyuv rather, to his father's wishes. It doesn't fit well into the normal way of things to say that she can coerce the husband because she wants to live to move someplace else because she wants to live a life of more pollution. So the Chacham Sofer as a result goes into a completely new interpretation of Gemara, which we won't go into, especially if we don't have it there anymore. He says Lulei Mistapinim, what everyone else interpreted the Gemara, not the Chacham Sofer, and then he goes into a completely turns the things upside down. Alright, that's the problem. Now I want to give a third explanation of what the second Chachamim here is. On the Daf in Ketubot, you have a quote from Nehemiah. The end of the quote. What happened in Nehemiah was as follows. When people came back to Eretz Yisrael, everything was Shmama, and the number of them were living in Now, Chachamim explained it as Shivat Krachim, it's more difficult, it's harder to live in the metropolis, the air is more polluted or whatever. But besides that, in addition to that, I'm not really contradicting that, when in Shiva Tzina, there wasn't any Kalkala, there was no economy. And if there's no economy, the only way you make a living is grow your own food. There were farmers in a subsistence society do much better than businessmen. Everyone lived in a rural community where they could grow crops. And everyone lived in Shalom, they didn't live there anyway, they lived in trade and in commerce. However, they drew lots. And one out of every 10 person was required by the lot, by the Goral, to live in Yerushalayim. And in addition to that, all the people blessed by the Chu Ha'am, the Kol Anoshim, HaMitnadzim, Hashem, Yerushalayim,
the Gemara mentioned. There are also those who volunteered, not because they were coerced by the Goral, but because of their own goodwill to live in Yerushalayim, and all the people blessed those who volunteered to do so. Now, it would seem self-evident that this is nothing to do with the mitzvah, because it was a mitzvah to visit everyone in Yerushalayim, and we don't have any such mitzvah, and the Goral, 1 out of 10, is not any mitzvah. So then what was the reason we tried to get people to live in Yerushalayim? It was necessary. If you want to reestablish a Jewish commonwealth, you have to have a capital city. Here a Kohen certainly will have a Beit Mikdash, even more so. You have to have his people living there. So this was a matter of Toelis, for the Rabbim, for something important to Klal Yisrael. And as a result, they set up a Goral to ensure that a certain percentage of the returning Jews from Babel, Jews returning from Babel, would live in Eretz Yisrael, would live in Yerushalayim. But you may say, Toelis Rabbim, what type of modern day concept is that? Well, there is a machloket between the Tashbats and the Rashbash, on the one hand, and the Ramban and the Yivash on the other. And the machloket has to do with as follows. If you are going up to Eretz Israel, can you tell your non-Jewish camel driver, whatever it is, will violate the Shabbat in order to help you get there? In other words, Amirah Goy Shvut. Is it permitted in the case of Aliyah Eretz Israel? Now this sends back to Gittin Davov, where you have Shabbat. If you buy a field in Eretz Israel, and you're afraid the Goy will disappear, so you can have him write the document for you even on Shabbat, even on Mirada Goy Shvut. Why Mishul Eretz Yisrael? Most poskim there, like in the Tosfot, told that this is a specific mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, Mishul Eretz Yisrael only, not that apply to other mitzvahs. Some people say Mila, some people don't say Mila. In general, in any case, it is something which Eretz Yisrael has a particularly strong standing, and many other mitzvahs are not allowed to tell a goy straight out in this case. Now, the machloket between the Rishonim is as follows. Therefore, if you go in there, Aliyah Eretz Yisrael, can you tell the goy about it? The Shabbat, how do you get there? And the Rashbash, the Tashbats, and the son of Rashbash say absolutely. I mean, if when you're already living there in Israel, you can tell a goy to write a deed on Shabbat. You're already there, certainly, in order to get there, so it's in the birthplace. The Rivash, and Kuf Aleph, and one other one, which I'm not sure what the other one is, identical language, and the Ramban, and also the Chidushim on Shabbat Kuf Chav, so the language of the Rivash is better, says no, there's no rival one to the other. If you're going in Aliyah, so you makaye mitzvah oberet, temporary mitzvah mitzvah, and mitzvah lacha, basically mitzvah to you. But if you're buying a field from a sadever, a field from a goyim of Israel, you makaye mitzvah adorot, the tova, the toela, the klal Yisrael, is all ad makodesh miyad zedim, or nothing. That if you're buying a film there for Israel, you're fulfilling a mitzvah which will last forever for Doros, and it's a mitzvah to Eret the Klal Yisrael to redeem Admat Kodesh and Yad Nachrim. So, the concept of Toelet the Klal Yisrael, of national benefits, is not something dreamed of recently, but is well established in the Beres of Mishana. Rivash and Pickler, and a little bit less than Ramban, and therefore, to get back to the question of why a kol malim eretz yisrael, why a husband can coerce the wife and the wife can coerce the husband, it seems to me not necessary to have a recourse either to the opinion of the Tashbats, that the reason they gave the power to the couple is because of the mitzvah takiyah ba'aretz of Yerushalayim, or according to the Chatam Sofer, that the reason they gave this coercive power is because of the Tosefet Rishon. But it can be simply explained by the fact that it was considered a Toelet L'uma, it was of national importance, to encourage Jews to live in Eretz Israel, and to encourage Jews to live in Yerushalayim, which does not necessarily have anything to do with the question of Mitzvah Deraita, not Mitzvah Deraita. as we've seen in the questions of the Ram in the time of Nehemiah, was not no specific mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, they were matpil of Gora because it was necessary to get people to live there. It was a tzarach ha'umah at the time. And therefore, Chachamim enacted the mission of the Brisa to let a husband, they're not going to force the person to come out of Yavit. He can't do. But if one half of a family already wants of his own or her own good intentions to come out of Yavit, they gave him the power to coerce the other half so that he wouldn't have a veto power over them. And this is, if you look at Tosfot HaRosh there, you will find that Yishum Yishuv, as the name of Rabbi Natan, Yishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Afkiu Isha Mabala. That the reason why they gave this power to a husband to coerce the wife, or the other way around, is the break up of marriage, as the Yishuv Abala, the Yishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. This particular mitzvah, this particular enactment of Mishnah was because the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. This can be explained on the rabbinic level, perfectly adequately in the sense of necessity for increasing the population of Eretz Yisrael, to increase the population of Shalayim. Yeah.
But then, in fact, the Mishnah is putting in a promotion. It is now the Mitzvah of the
No, we are talking about Chiyum. Rosh is no Chiyum. Chiyum is certainly. No one disagrees with Allah. If you want to go in Aliyah, you get a Mitzvah, and then you are able to force your wife. It doesn't mean that you have to go in Aliyah, even direct from the Rebbe. There's a Gemara. What?
Everyone agrees
it's mishnah kiyumis yishra aris. So that would go to the question of what the Rambam holds, but it would appear so. It would appear so. No, we didn't say that. I didn't say that. That's the Aris. We'll get to the Rambam shortly. Yes.
We brought this to show against the Chas V'Sofer that there would be a toilet.
No, I didn't bring it together. Come to
the wife.
Question of the question is simply, why should the wife be able to coerce the husband towards the separate solution? It's a hard moveset to grasp. And where do we find the wife has such a power?
Yeah.
The wife is not the one who pulls the strings in the family life. Then what I brought now is a third explanation of why Chachamim gave the koach to a husband to coerce the wife and vice versa.
It's not living in Yerushalayim. So is this a reasoning by analogy? Just as like how Mitnavni and Meshev and Yerushalayim, there was a Toeles in the time of
I'm establishing the fact that the idea of Toeles Ha'uba, is something which is found in Kofil, it's found in Yishonim, and therefore it is reasonable to explain the reason for Chazal on this basis. I think it's right.
Going to what you're saying is that Israel is an act of the land, in terms of the
Mitzvah,
or is it
we're not going to discuss the question of Mitzvah, not Mitzvah. That's not relevant. The reason why Chachamim said to go and gave the power to go alone to live in Eretz Yisrael, and not with the husband wants to live in Uganda, is that would be connected to the fact that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're talking about. Why was this specific marriage specific power turned into the marriage? And the answer to that is, even though it's not a Mitzvah Chiyuvis to go in Eretz Yisrael, but if a person wants to go, why do you give him the specific power to coerce the wife? Because it's something Chachamim wanted to encourage. Why? They want to encourage it. You don't have to apply it because of Mitzvah Chiyuvis. You don't have to attach it to the question of Tosefta Kedusha. You can simply say, because this is something we have to apply to Yisrael. I think it's perfectly well based. Yes.
You refer to
the
why would they
be Kaveh as
something
in the Doros?
You know,
in the Kaveh,
like...
They did Kaveh in the Doros.
What?
Kaveh in the Doros. The husband was a
Doros,
the wife,
you
can do
so
it.
Why
would they?
It's only
for
Elas,
once
they
do
that,
they have
a situation.
For Elas, Uma?
What?
But it's a natural sentence. Mm-hmm. What do you mean only? It's only for Elas, Uma. What more important things are these which are important things?
The theory is that people don't want... There's no economy and people don't want to live in your
salon. Now, wait, isn't that confused? I explained what was going on in Nehemiah, why people didn't want to live in Yerushalayim, why it was necessary to have a war and people live in Yerushalayim. Then I went and asked the question, why did anyone care about anyone living in Yerushalayim? So let's say everyone wanted to live in Yerushalayim, which I explained because of the problem of the economy. Nehemiah obviously wanted, the people wanted people to live in Yerushalayim, so they had a goral to force them to live in Yerushalayim. Why was it important for people to live in Yerushalayim anyway? Who cares? So this I explain on the basis of, well, that's obviously why the country going back together, that you need people to live there. You can't go over the Beit Midrash, but you have people living in Yerushalayim. Nothing to do with Mitzvah or Kedusha directly, but it was something which is important on Israel returning from Babylon.
Then, from that, I went on to show that you can also use this idea of the port to Am Yisrael as your explanation of the mission of the Brisa here. But I'm no longer talking about economy.
What was the purpose of the Sakana?
Which Sakana?
Because
it's a benefit of Yisrael, I have Jews living in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And Rambam will hold this so that you can take over the country later on. We'll get to that in a moment. And others will hold no. In any way, I think that you need to disagree that it's a benefit of Yisrael. I mean, what do you mean? What do you push for? You want me to try to give you reasons why it should be important for Yisrael
to
Jews living in Eretz Yisrael?
There would be a problem if people wouldn't want it.
People don't want to. Why should they want to? And through all the doors when the going were living there, were controlled there. There are plenty of good reasons not to want to go. So how come you said that if the husband nevertheless wants to go, so we give him the power to make the rest of his family go with?
In the town of the Mishnah? Well,
that's what we're talking about, the Takana or the town of the Gemara, or the Mishnah, the discussion when this happens, but it's not the town of Nechani. Two separate Yanis, the Takana, the Mishnah is not what Nechani is talking about, that's a later Takana. Just that both of them can be explained on the basis of the letter to Klal
Yisrael.
Well,
we say that the day of the Takana
of the Gemara. Nothing to do with Nechani and the Mishnah, other than that the reason is probably the same in both cases. Not at all, Lechani wasn't talking about either one. Alright, now there's a Gemara, this explains all sorts of interesting things in the Gemara. One of them, Gemara in Perek Meruba, where you have the following statement. And there is not Sadia, all of not by Eretz Israel, all of not by it, all of Sa Isha by Eretz Israel. Someone who makes a vow to build a house or to marry in Eretz Yisrael, you don't force him to fill his vow immediately, but you wait till he finds a suitable field, a suitable wife. Mishu zalikat bayi likat ishad Eretz Yisrael. Eilu chavim ato likat miyad ashi yitzad api ahoberet lo. Okay. Now the problem with this, which is that Vishnu Manikach Bayit Beretz Yisrael, not the Siddush of Eretz Yisrael, right? But why does the Mishnah say Yisa Yisha Beretz Yisrael? Who cares where he's in Yisa Yisha? And in fact, the Poskim will bring this down, that they leave out that, they mention Manikach Bayit Beretz Yisrael, but Yisa Yisha, anyway. The text we have from the whole makes it, attaches, it says, the Kafisha, the Kafbai, the Yisai Yisha, the Eretz Israel. Sounds like the particular discussion is talking about getting married in Eretz Israel. What is the Yichud of getting married in Eretz Israel? Well, the answer to that is, as you've already seen from the source of the Rosh, Yishub Yishub Eretz Israel, Aki Yishub Ba'ala, on the one hand, Yishub Eretz Israel, therefore, is not as sometimes misinterpreted in meaning the question of building houses in vine fields. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has to do with the number of Jews in Eretz Yisrael also, maybe primarily increasing the population of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, on a very likah yishuv Eretz Yisrael, a person who makes a vow to get married in Eretz Yisrael, you would have a hamulin to say that you have to marry the first person he comes across and hurry up and have kids, because it's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Perfectly parallel to the Kafbai of Eretz Yisrael. And this, the Chiddush of the Brisa is no. Nevertheless, we enable him to wait until he finds someone who is suitable for him in the sense to go ahead and hurry up. Now, the meaning would be because the Kafbai of Eretz Yisrael is also part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the same way as the Kafbai of Eretz Yisrael, you would force him to hurry up and fulfill his vow. Therefore, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, from this can be seen, and it should be stressed, is not a technical question of ownership only, it's also, this gets in the way of Rebush a bit, but that aside, it certainly is also a question of increasing the Fushas in Eretz Yisrael. And this gets back to our Mishnah. Chachamim wanted to increase the population in Eretz Yisrael, and so they gave the power to a husband to of course, his wife, and etc. Now let's get on to the Ramban, because it's an important business to end up with. Now the Ramban, how about the Mitzvah to say Lota, Mitzvah to say Dalit. And we already read briefly in the Chumash in the Mizrach Lamed Gimel there. And here it says, Now, let me cut the whole thing short. The Tashbat and everyone else in the Rishonim seems to think that the Ramban claims the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Read the Ramban very carefully and you'll find the mitzvah of the Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Not the same thing at all. Now, in order to be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael, you have to live in it. You can't very well conquer without, having people there. And Kovesh Kisha means also the physical possession of it. You can't have a situation that people will conquer Eretz Yisrael and set up barbed wire fences and then leave for greener pastures because no one else is there. Kibush means the active sense of being physically in control of living at the time. But the Rambam, if he goes on to say in all sorts of places, like at the end here, turns out that Yeshua's Malchus says that also, in the Tanakh, I have listed, that the mitzvah according to the Rambam is not a Bia Reh Kanit, that's the language you use. For a person to have the ability to do it in what belongs to him. Oh, now what will this explain? This is explain a rather amazing thing at the and the riot of this, other than that it fits into all the languages, is that there is a drush of the Rambam on the Rosh Hashanah. If you look at the Rambam of Rabbi Shabel, there was a drasha which he gave on Rosh Hashanah when he was already in Eretz Israel. And on the last page, he goes to the Gemara and talks about all the clears of Eretz Israel, that someone who walks there for Amos is Mechaper al Kol Avonotav, etc., 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 etc. And he goes, and this is what caused me, Hanyani, Lazovit, Beit Avi, or Eretz Malavati, to leave my family and where I grew up, and to wander in my old age to get to Eretz Israel. What does he say? Doesn't say anything wrong about being a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. Now this is completely uncomprehensible by the person who himself is the author of the fact that it is a mitzvah, the main author of that is a mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, unless one explains, as in fact we've explained, that in Ramban's opinion the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is not a B.R.A.D., not simply living in Eretz Yisrael, but the mitzvah is the kibush Eretz Yisrael, which everyone takes part. But in his day, when he was going there as a yachid, and the Turks were firmly in control, nothing which he would do had the slightest ability, a visible connection between reserving Jewish control of Eretz Yisrael, he was quoted that he was not the kind of mitzvah of the Torah. And though he didn't mention it. Now, I wrote this in Asada against some idiocy that Rabbi Ravitz wrote in some newspaper. He said to fulfill the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows that you don't need Yeshiva Politi, you don't need political control, you don't need anything of state or anything of the sort. That's bad enough. But anyone to say in our opinion, anyone who thinks otherwise is Amaris. So I wrote the letter pointing out that Yeshua's Malchus said so, and that this in fact is what the Ramban has to say, and it's clear from this Raya, from the Raya just brought also, from the Drush Rosh Hashanah. So some rabbi eventually wrote back to me, starting to provide an Amaris, by saying that whatever Raya you're picking here, I mean the Ramban also didn't explain, didn't say that he went to the Eretz Yisrael because he sort of flew up Aris. Alright, what's wrong with that reasoning? Since he didn't say that it didn't mention the mitzvah of Yehovah Haaretz, which obviously exists, therefore, the fact that he didn't mention the mitzvah of living in Israel also doesn't prove that it doesn't exist in his opinion. What's wrong with that reasoning? No, that's not the point. The point is that's my theory. He's saying no. Even you can quote the Rambam, quote the Limud, that he knows the mitzvah. He makes sure he mentions everything too.
He's saying this is why I came. So before you include that there's a mitzvah to do it, he's saying, you know, I'm doing it and
everything. So what between mitzvah the Upper Aretz and mitzvah Yeshuva Kibush from the Rambam? Once he was clear, there's no obligation in Sfarad to leave Sfarad in order to go and fulfill mitzvah Shmita. But according to the Ramban. Who According to Rambam Shita, a mitzvah of art is no chiyuv on him in Sarat. But according to Rambam Shita, there's a chiyuv on him in Sarat, the daughter of Israel. The chiyuv on him is where he wanted the flowers to do the actions of the daughter of Israel. Unless you explain the way I explain it, which is that in his day he was more than if it was not mitzvah in the right of the marriage of Israel, because it was considered cut off in the question of kibush. And he agreed, as clear from his language, when you think about it, that he commits to the kibush of the Am Yisrael. But if he are coming, kind of the way Shlomo Malko mentions, in the language, he didn't go into this discussion, in fact, according to the Ramban, it's not a mitzvah in the right. Now, that being the case, we can then go backwards to Maram Rothberg, and Truman and others who said, and you were Emmett's father's man of day, Ella, to say, well, maybe they agree with the Ramban. Maybe they would also be more than nowadays that everybody living in Israel, since we have the ability, we have kibush, we have the ability to find us to go into so business with the right to today. Nevertheless, even though it's possible that the Maram and the Truman and would fit into that, the fact is, in the language of Rashi, in various places, and the Rashbam, and some others, who tie it only to the question of mitzvah yishuv, mitzvah shuvah ba'aretz, would seem to agree, indicate that even without that, they disagree with it. So, Machlokes and Yerushalmi most certainly would exist, and since the Rambam didn't mention, he probably didn't apparently feel it was a mitzvah, and that is the prayer of Rashi and Rashbam, and probably the opinion of Maram Rambam and the others, even though in their particular cases, it's no right, because in those days even the Ramban would agree that there wouldn't be a mitzvah the right. Yes, and I have another 3 minute point to make. Yes.
According
to the Ramban, not the other way around. If Chalice, before, there has to be a mitzvah on Chalice, not a mitzvah. No, it's called front, and that's the question of the Yechid and the Klam, and the Sefer goes into various points with the relationship between. It's through the Yechid. He says, the Chayyid Korach Ami done. Then a mitzvah is in kibbutz. You can't, each one of us is obligated to do a share in kibbutz of Israel.
According to that, if Klal Yisrael, let's say, turning it over and plus there are living in Kovish, even if there are some Jews living in Kutbar, so as far as still, they wouldn't have any mitzvah, but it's all listed.
Well, that has to do with the question of whether you need them to help shore up the the kibbutz. But in any case, it may be that the mitzvah is only mitzvah in your control. Once you're in control of the mitzvah, everyone can live there. So it's not necessarily what you're saying. Now, so it would turn out, first of all, that nowadays, certainly according to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah. And probably mitzvah anybody. However, it's machloket. He's going to prove nothing to anybody by trying to prove that Reb Chaim Kohen is time to tell. Also, the statements made in the arena of this discussion. There is machloket of Rishonim on the matter. Those who rely on them to not go there to Israel certainly have Masha Almighty in the smoke, by the way, I've been in there 70 years. But I want to make two final comments. In Ketubah, because we know what this is, what's called in the law of Shukha Pahim. Just because you can get away with something doesn't mean that you're probably doing it. And there are two comments made in the Gemara, which I'll do it very quickly. One is called Jabba Chutzar to either Kamisha or Veda Vadazara, called Jabba Chutzar to Kamisha Endo Aloha. And also some interpretations of them. Eretz Israel is under a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kutra is under a Sari, so that if you worship the Sari, I don't think of that sort. I want to give two interpretations. One, called Jabba Chutzar, Kamisha Veda Vadazara. This would be connected exactly to the statement of Rabbi Shmuel and Avazar Das Zion, which says, "Obdei Yoshvei Chutz La'aretz, Obdei Avadazara B'Tarayim." In fact, in the Tosefta, in Ketubas, I think it is, you find the two statements one after the other, even though in the Gemara of Ketubas is obviously not next to Rabbi Shmuel's statement Yeah, but Azara, and so separate the one after the other, there's a listing of these. Alright, now what does that mean? An example of the Gemara gives is that you're living in Chutzlaris, and the Sari here has a wedding banquet, and he gives you a completely kosher meal, not kosher, kosher dishes, etc., but the purpose of the whole activity is him to go on later and give thanks to his God. And therefore the Jews have gone to that meal, sort of like that's Purim, isn't it? The Jews who went to that meal are of the Avodah Zarah of the Torah. They're not trying to be of the Avodah Zarah, but what they do redounds to the benefit of the Avodah Zarah of the Shastar of Moshe. So what the Gemara is saying, Kol Jav Chutz La'aretz, Kilu Avid Avodah Zarah, is referring to that, in that, as Unkluz says, Vatam Shem Elohim Eitz Ve'Evin, when you're in Golos, in the Torah, Unkluz explains it as meaning you will worship, what does it mean in Chutz La'aretz, you worship
You worship idols, Chas v'Shalom. You will worship those who worship idols. And it's as absorbing worshiping them, you are prompting them up, and as if you worship idols. And call the because no matter what one may delude oneself, if you're building up any society, America included, you are building up what is basically not a Jewish society, and the results of your constructive efforts is building up a Christian or an atheist or a secularist or whatever it is, not a Jewish society. And this is the equivalent of that's the meaning of that particular statement of Gemara. And the other statement of Gemara. Rambam agrees with the Rabbanan. What? Why not? By the way, I have to add to the point. To the point of honesty. Look in the mirror, so stupid. You find what the Babaji Rebbe says. The Babaji Rebbe says any place is Yerushalayim as long as you're learning Torah there, and you find that almost word for word in the Rambam in the mirror of the other Ketubos. Very strange. Ain lo chaver yushamim. Nobody else mentions anything of that sort. The materials from Baba Kama himself comes up here and says it's a mitzvah, the rabbi, a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't have to live in Eretz Yisrael. But I mentioned just so that you won't be, you should be aware of what's said here. But getting back to the other statements, Kola Dorba Chosfar Kilo Enlo Eloha, which is a very strange term, Kilo Enlo Eloha. What's that mean? A generic sense for deity. Well, when you're living in Chutz La'aretz, you're compartmentalized. We're still compartmentalized, even though we live in Eretz Yisrael, because you get used to thinking in terms of Judaism pertains to the house, pertains to the shul, doesn't pertain to the municipality, doesn't pertain to the city hall, doesn't pertain to the street. So you start chopping up Judaism into and getting goyish ways of looking at Yahadis, which everyone, don't kid yourself, is brought up accepting. You take it for granted. You divide your sphere into the sacred and the secular sphere. Whereas you're perfectly well known on a ideational basis anyway, that there is no such division. So, Israel still is, but in Israel, these people are fighting over it. People are aware of necessity, that's what all the struggles are about. There are a lot of Golitic Jews in Israel, as somebody else said. Stay away from you. In Israel, the question at least is raised here. Israel is an ongoing effort to try to get the Judaism into the public sphere. It's out of much more than here. No question, whatever. You don't have Congress discussing the evil deed. It's not, no comparison, whatever. There is one other place in the Gemara where you find a statement about Ke'ilu Mein Lo Aloha. And that's in Avodah Zarah Chav Gimel. And there it has to do with a person who has Torah, Talmud Torah, but doesn't have Gemul Chassadim. Doesn't involve himself in the community. And the statement there is Kol Shemisha Eino Ela, a very interesting statement. Kol Misha Eino Ela Torah. Get that? Kol Misha Eino Ela Torah Ki Ilu Eino Eloha. And I would suggest that these two places, the Gemara being the only two places I know which has this phrase, combined the two words, found under the following hybrid, which is the W2. Kol Misha Dabba Chutzlaaret, Eino Ela Yisrael, Eino Ela Torah Ki Misha Eino Eloha.
You mentioned Derek Hodges.
You said there was
something about
that seeming
to the
left
in
the
mind. Where is this?
Truth
and they find it.
Seeming
to